Hi, this is Mo.
And this is Sarah, and you're listening to the podcast Bird Shit.
We started this podcast to share our love of birding with other enthusiastic birders in the world.
Everyone, we are back. We disappeared for a while to have babies between fall and spring migration. We were very happy to each welcome a new baby girl into our respective families. And new parenting has been, well, we don't really need to get into the details. But let's just say it has been messy, exhausting, and rewarding in ways that we never even imagined. Also, since this is our first episode back in a while, it may have a lot more random thoughts and side commentary because, let's be honest, we don't really talk that much anymore.
Fair warning.
There's a lot of texting, though. We text a lot.
Yeah, we text a lot at, like, random hours, and it's always, like, about our babies or eating chocolate. So we haven't talked about birds enough, so we're really excited.
I also do a lot of talk to text these days. I found out.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, part of being a new parent is, like, you discover why people use talk to text.
It's amazing. Or I am texting with my glasses off and her on my chest, and I can barely see. So I'm just, like, I have so many typos because I am very, very blind without my glasses. And you're the recipient of all those typos.
Yes, but I speak Sarah very well. So part of coming back...
I was going to say, we've already done so many tangents and we're like 2 seconds in. Sorry. Sorry if you came for birds.
Yep. Sorry. You just get us instead. Well, since we decided to come back and do Bird Shit again, part of what comes back to recording and making this podcast means that we do have a few changes. So rather than releasing our episodes bi-weekly, our goal is to bring you a new episode every month. We figure that's probably better than nothing, although some of you maybe liked having nothing for a while. You needed a break from us, too. I get that. We have also had to hire an editor to help us out. It is not cheap, but it is also the only way that we can come up with to come back to recording and bringing you the Bird Shit content that you know and love. Luckily, our husbands are around to watch the babies while we record. Shout out, dads. But finding the time to edit is not as easy to do. That said, we are looking for any financial support that you can possibly offer us to help us pay for this editor. You can help us out by leaving something in our virtual tip jar at this website called Ko-fi? Ko-fi? Ko-fi-fi? I don't really know how it's pronounced.
Do not make that joke. Wow, bringing it back to what, like 2016?
Oh my god, every time Sam makes a cup of coffee, he always says Ko-fi-fi. Like, he loves Ko-fi-fi.
No. No.
Everything that existed during the Trump era just ceases to exist at this point.
Yes, please. Please.
Okay, fine. No Ko-fi-fi. But I don't actually know how you pronounce this website's name. It's K-O-F-I.
I would say Ko-fi.
Ko-fi? That's what I thought too. But then why they say buy me coffee, but it's Ko-fi. Ko-fi. But it looks like Ko-fi. Ko-fi? Whatever it is.
Okay.
Whatever it is. You can find the link to it in our episode notes. We'll also post it in our Instagram profile and our Twitter profile. Or if you're really good at remembering long URLs in podcasts, it's ko-fi.com/birdshitpodcast. All one word, and yes, with the I in shit instead of the asterisk.
Love it. Love it.
Literally any amount of money that you give to us will go right back into this show. If we happen to miraculously make up enough money to pay for our editor, any of our remaining funds will go towards paying the hosting and our Zoom subscription for recording interviews, both of which have come out of our pockets since we started. And also, if you have like a bazillion dollars and you want to like sponsor us, like that's also cool. We'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. I would love to do Bird Shit more often than once a month, but...
I mean, we already know Chris Pratt is like a longtime fan.
Yes, yes. The running theme of Chris Pratt being our secret fan is just going to continue forever until one day on Instagram, he just likes something we post and then we will be done. I will be set for life.
The world will know. Trust me, the world will know. All this to say, podcasting is not cheap, but it is a lot of fun. We hope you guys enjoy it. And if you're here for us, we hope that you'll find a way to support us if you can.
Thanks, everyone. Oh, that's the nicest. That's the nicest I'm ever going to be on this podcast.
I mean, if you're going to be nice when you're asking for money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sorry, guys. Now I feel like a very cheap person. Now I feel dirty. Mm.
Birds in the news. Whew. We clearly did not use our time off to practice singing that song.
No.
But it works. Well, guys, not going to lie, we missed a lot of news during our hiatus. Jason Ward, the host of the web series Birds of North America and a very prominent figure in the birding community, had some very serious rape allegations made against him. We fully stand with Aisha White and the rape victims everywhere. Employees of the National Audubon Society are working to form a union, which is great. And in the wake of this potential organizational change, the Audubon CEO, David Yarnold, recently stepped down. There are lots of other really important issues that are taking place in the birding community right now. But rather than speak about these issues from our very limited perspectives, we want to do our best to bring the right voices here to discuss these topics. We believe that there are stories out there that need to be heard, and they should not come from us. We do hope you're able to stay tuned for future episodes to hear from people working to make birding a more inclusive, safe, and equally representative activity for everybody. But that does not mean that there are not other stories about birds in the news. So, here are some other recent bird in the news stories that we have found. The first comes from California, and I just love this one. It's basically about this flock of California condors that threw this massive deck house party while the owner was away. There was this woman, I think her, hold on, shit, is it Cinda or Cinda? It must be Cinda.
If her name is Cinda, she's definitely throwing a party for condors.
Her name is Cinda. Okay.
Cinda Mitchell.
Maybe you should take this one because I
can't. I'm taking over this story.
Take it over.
Okay, so there are some birds in the news, and this lady, Cinda Mickles, who Mo has turned into Cindy Nichols, returned to her California home after a short week away and found some unexpected visitors, those of which were about 15 to 20 condors that had descended on her home in Southern California. At least 13 were hanging out in the deck and several more on the roof. With only about 160 of these birds left in the wild, it's pretty cool that nearly 20 of them decided to get together and show up at this one location. Unless, of course, you are the homeowner, Cindy Nicholas.
Cinda Mickles.
I'm just going to call her 10 different names in this article. Oh. It's not the important part, but...
Cynthia.
Cynthia Nicholas. These condors wrecked the deck, ripped up a spot cover, knocked over her deck plants, and ripped the screen door. They also pooped everywhere, very appropriate for this show, which the owner said was as thick as concrete and incredibly difficult to remove. Luckily, she appreciated this once-in-a-lifetime experience and was happy to have them visit. Oh, man, what a cool lady.
Right?
The birds staked out on her deck for over a week. Holy shit.
Yeah.
But thankfully, they've moved on to the surrounding trees now. Entering a turf war with a flock of condors doesn't sound like much fun, but it sure is impressive. As she told the Washington Post, it wows me and it smells.
That sounds about right. That's also how I feel about being a new mom, honestly.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that sums up parenting right now.
But I don't think I need to define, like, what part of parenting smells, because oftentimes it's me, but
still. Oh, yeah, my armpits are no-go territory right now.
Yeah, there's many parts of my bodies that are no-go territories. Armpits are the least of my worries sometimes. My body is a no-go territory.
I just imagined someone asked me, how are you doing? Well, my body's a no-go territory right now, but whatever.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm, like, very happy this lady realized how cool of an event this is. I mean, I'm sure I would be like, what the fuck, when I walked into, like, 20 condors, but I also be like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, this is amazing, this is amazing.
I mean, just imagine birds just, like, bringing dead carcasses up to your deck and, like, having a nice little feast. Like, how cool is that?
I would love that.
You would love that, you little goth bird.
I would love that. It would be amazing. I am into this. Okay, well, yeah, well, that's cool.
You're going to have to move to California and maybe, you know, another 10 of those 160 left in the wild will come back and hang out.
I just need to move into Cynthia Nicholson's house. Yep.
Oh, man. Cinda, we love you and your name, even if we can't pronounce it on the air.
Even if we keep changing it.
Even if we keep changing it, sleep deprivation is a dangerous thing.
Whew. Okay, what right, else? What else have we got in the news? There's something else going on, right, Mo?
Oh, there's always things going on, but I don't like talking about most of them. But this one is actually, it's gross, but it has to be talked about. So we are big fans of Italian food, but not like this. Back in April, 20 government officials in Italy were arrested and put under investigation for taking part in a feast of songbirds, including some rare species that were illegally hunted. Police were originally contacted because of an illegal coronavirus gathering, since large gatherings are not currently allowed in Italy. Instead, when they got there, they came across some local government officials preparing a cookout of about 65 protected migratory birds, primarily finches. This included two hawfinches and one brambling, which is known by its orange breast and white rump. Not only are these species protected, some of them are globally endangered. The punishment for those attended the lunch will depend on the specific charges, but the fine could exceed 2,000 euros for the guest who brought the birds.
Who the hell is like, hey, one, let's all get together during a coronavirus.
Yep.
And break the law. And two, oh, by the way, here's all these dead endangered birds I brought. Let's eat.
Yeah. No, well, so here's the weird part is like the police show up. And the people there were like, oh, no, like, we're taking every precaution. Like, we're wearing masks. We're staying socially distant. The police were like, okay, cool. That's chill. But then, like, they had hid the plate of songbirds, like, under the picnic table. Like, they didn't want the police to see these dead songbirds. So, like, they knew they were being stupid. Like, they knew they were breaking the law.
Dude, but they, good on these police, too, for identifying the songbirds.
Yeah. So they said that they recognized them because, like, I don't want to get into details because I don't know the details, but like, I don't know if the birds were already, they were like skewered. So I don't know if they were like already crisped up, but can you imagine trying to like identify a bird based on like its burnt carcass? Like, oh, that's definitely an American robin. I can tell. Like, ugh. So I think that they weren't yet cooked and that's how they were able to identify them and be like, actually, we know exactly what that is. And you're not supposed to be skewering it and putting over a spit on a fire. Fire. Sorry.
I would be horrified. I would immediately start freaking out and be like, who the fuck brought these birds? Who brought these birds? Who brought these birds to this gathering? But obviously, all these people were pretty complicit because they got together in the first place. And then they were like, oh, wait, the cops? Let's hide these under the picnic table.
Yeah, and they actually have talked about that, how, like, Italy is sort of this avian danger zone. So there are 5 million protected birds that are shot dead there every year. That's a fifth of the total birds that are legally killed every year along the Mediterranean coast, according to BirdLife International. And on top of that, the Italian government recently voted to allow Italian hunters to shoot up to 7.5 million turtle doves, a move that could drive the European variant of the iconic species towards extinction. There is also an Italian man in the same area where this nasty dining of songbirds took place. He is currently facing charges for keeping 788 dead songbirds in his freezer. They included robins, which are sold illegally for 3 to 5 euros to restaurants that are particularly appreciated for their thin bill, which to some is considered edible, which is so gross. I can't even think about it. Like, no, nope, 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 nope.
Do they need to start like a seminar in high school where they're like, hey, killing songbirds is wrong?
Or just, like, talk about why birds are cool and you shouldn't be killing them in the first place?
What the hell?
Yeah.
Man, Italy.
I wonder if it's, like, one of those abstinence things where if you're, like, you can't kill birds and everyone's like, oh, we're going to go kill all the birds. Instead, they're like, birds are great. Only kill the ones you're supposed to.
Here's how to safely interact with birds.
Here's how to safely interact with birds.
Use protection. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's gross.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. It sounds like Italy, and obviously we're exaggerating here, not all Italians are killing birds, but it sounds like it's a huge problem there.
It does. And I guess like when they passed that law recently about allowing them to kill the turtle doves, they were like under a lot of pressure from the Italian Hunting Association. I don't know what it's called, but it's basically like major lobbyists for hunting.
Oh, wow. Lobbyists for hunting. Wow.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we just both were very much like, raising our eyebrows and making that face.
Yeah, I know. That's my face all the time now. But yeah, it's gross and it's bad. And now you know, If you're ever in Italy and you see robin beak on the menu, maybe just like decline that offer. Stick with pizza and pasta and like everything else that's good in Italy that doesn't involve birds.
Birds in the news, we presented you with a couple. You guys know how this format goes. Now we're going to talk about some bird moms. For the first time in our lives, we are being called mother in an affectionate way, and it warms my heart. It's getting real ooey gooey here.
Ooey gooey. Just like a good soggy diaper.
What? Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Yep. Ooey gooey. So we are re-releasing this episode after Mother's Day, but we're actually recording it on Mother's Day because this is the only time we could find to spend with one another.
We needed an annual holiday dedicated to us being moms in order to spend an hour talking to each other.
Yes, literally, that is it. That is it. But we still felt like we wanted to talk about bird moms, even if it's not a punctual according to some Hallmark holiday. So we are going to talk about some notable bird moms for you, and Mo is going to start with the least tern.
The least tern. The least tern is the smallest of American terns, hence the name. They have white bellies, gray backs, and these cool little like Zorro masks. They're really awesome. And they love nesting on sandy beaches along the southern coast of the United States and along major rivers in the interior U.S. Least terns are probably the most adorable bird moms. They lay 1 to 3 eggs in their annual brood and take excellent care of their little babies.
Aww.
Oh, no. They make their nests in a little scrape of sand or pebbles just above the high tide line.
Good
they
job.
Know what they're doing.
Good
they
job.
Know what's up. They know how the moon works. Okay. Super moon. Oh my God, wait.
They know how the moon works?
They do.
Yeah? All they right.
Do. All yeah, right. They have those motherly moon instincts.
And they got their little moon degrees.
They study the sky at night and they can tell you every constellation that you want to know.
Yeah, if you're taking astronomy class, please contact your local least tern for help.
Anyways, high tide lines, moons, least terns. People are with us. They know what we're doing.
Yeah, they got it. You were gonna talk about the super moon?
Oh, okay. So like now that I live on the East Coast, aka near an ocean, I've never lived near an ocean before. I swear the high tide was higher during the supermoon like a week or two ago. Like, I've never seen the water level that high before. And I was like, it's got to be the supermoon. I don't know. Like, I don't know how the moon works. I am not a least tern.
If it's a supermoon, don't you think it would create a super tide?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it was higher and the low was probably lower. But we're not moon. We're not moon experts. We're not least turns.
So fifth grader is listening to this and he's like, those morons.
Oh my God, I hope there's not a fifth grader listening to us.
Yeah, God, yeah, please. If you're in fifth grade, please turn this off. Please.
Yeah, go find something that's not us.
But also, before you do, send us an email explaining the moon.
We gotta know how it works.
Now when I'm doing my night feeds, I'm just gonna stare out the window at the moon and just be like, how do you work?
Oh my God, I'm crying. Oh, the moon is a beautiful celestial being and I'm so glad it's around. Now every time I look at it, I'm just gonna like pee my pants laughing. So thank you for this moment. How do you work? So my parents and I were like trying to complete this crossword, which already sounds like the worst story ever.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued.
Okay, so like we're trying to complete this crossword and it turns out that like the clue that's like resonating throughout the crossword is like different moon names of different planets. I was like, I don't even fucking know what our moon is called. Our moon is just called the moon. It doesn't even have. No, but like I could have sworn it had like some real scientific name and it's just like the moon.
No, it's because we're so self-centered as creatures. We were just like, yeah, it's the moon. The moon. All other planets, your moons with names. This is the moon.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So we're going back to these turns here. Okay. So they build their nests above the high tide line, even above the supermoon high tide line, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because they're moon experts. They're basically astronauts. Okay. they are excellent temperature monitors. So tern moms will stand over the eggs and the hatchlings to shade them from the sun on really warm days. And if it's super hot outside, the least tern moms will go into the water and they'll soak their little bellies in the ocean and then return to the beach to give their broods a nice little sponge bath.
Aww.
I know. And they let their babies cuddle up under their feathers to keep warm if it's windy or cool. It's basically adorable. Like, you gotta look up pictures of, like, little tern babies, like, all snuggled up under the feathers.
That's so cute.
It's so cute. It's the cutest.
No, I'm literally only thinking about the moon.
I know. How are we supposed to go on?
Okay. We're gonna do a quick cut so we don't fall back into that. We're going back to condors. I'm gonna talk about the California condor, and what's better than one mom? Two moms. And that was the case with the California condor chick back in 2015, who was raised by two widowed female condors. These birds are one of the U.S. largest land birds and also one of the rarest. Back in 1987, California condors were dangerously close to extinction due to lead poisoning from bullets left behind by deer hunters. But thanks to conservation efforts and captive breeding, their numbers are back on the rise. They are identified by their black bodies, massive wingspan, which have striking white markings under the wings, and their bald red heads. Perhaps only a face that a mother or two could love. Aw, I would love that face. But so, back in 2015, California condor females number 317 and 171 were both widows, but teamed up to raise a chick together after both females lost their mates. It's unclear who the biological mother was, but both mamas took great care of the little chick. Condor chicks are also pretty needy. One pair always needs to stay at the nest because the baby requires the body heat of one parent as the other is off finding food. Sometimes the chick's demands are so high that condors sometimes raise their young in trios, with two males and a female, or vice versa. Wow.
I could totally relate to that.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing. That sounds
amazing. It's like a live-in nanny, who's also your lover. What's not... That's intriguing, actually.
I feel like that's the case with a lot of celebrity nannies.
Oh, right. That has to be.
Yeah.
How do you apply for that job, by the way?
Yeah. What experience do I need?
What experience do I need to nanny two beautiful people's children?
I already can't handle one child, so.
It's got to be easier if it's not your own, though. You could probably be a little more like, it's actually your kid. You're just paying me a copious amounts of money to take care of it and have sex with you.
That sounds ideal. So these condors sound like they are the epitome of it takes a village, because there have been other instances where condors help each other out, such as when they're older, unrelated condors can help feed the younger ones. But this is the first time where researchers heard of two female condors without a male successfully raising a chick. So you go, mamas. Great job.
Oh, I know. Next on our list, we have the shoebill stork. Some of you may be familiar with the shoebill stork from, I think it was BBC Earth. They have a little clip about the shoebill stork. And if so, this next fact will not surprise you, but we hope you keep listening because it's still crazy. Shoebill storks are large, gray-blue, kind of creepy-looking birds that live in tropical East Africa in large swamps ranging from South Sudan to Zambia. They are nearly 5 feet tall and look a bit like a hippogriff, honestly, if you looked at one. If you ever wanted proof that dinosaurs are birds, look no further than the shoebill stork. Its large, very noticeable beak is shaped kind of like a shoe, but like a Dutch shoe, like a big wooden, like, clog is what it looks like, hence its name. And these beaks are massive. They're 9 inches long and 4 inches wide, and they have these, like, nail-like hooks on the end that it uses for killing prey. That's pretty badass.
Love this bird.
It's a great bird. Shoebill stork moms are pretty good moms, sort of. A female shoebill will normally have 1 to 3 shoebill murder birds because only one chick tends to survive. That's because these moms are pretty hands-off when it comes to dealing with sibling rivalries. Whenever there's more than one shoebill that is born in the same nest, the bird chicks will compete for attention from the mother. Oftentimes, this leads to the larger dominant offspring fighting off their siblings so they can be an only child. More often than not, the larger bird forces the smaller birds to flee from the nest and live on their own. Scientists and researchers don't have a lot of information on why this happens, but it's certainly a good way to make sure that you're well-fed and loved if you are somebody who has a sibling.
Can you imagine being a shoebill mama and you have like three kids, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and you come back to the nest and all of a sudden it's just Tom and he's like, I love you the most, Mom.
I love you so much, I killed my brothers.
I love you so much, Mom, I got rid of the other two. And you're just like, oh, okay, cool, there's just one of you now.
I mean, there were times I tried to get rid of my brother, so this is sort of relatable, but I don't think I did it for my mother's affection. I think I just did it because that's just what you do when you have a sibling.
I feel like there's more to this story. Go on. How did you try and get rid of them?
You know, like, what it is? It's probably because the shoebill stork babies had to share a bathroom with their siblings, and it was not good when everyone was trying to get ready for school at the same time, and they were just like, fuck it, I need to be the only one getting ready for school in the morning right now. Especially when you're 13 and you have to take a shower and, like, look like a decent human. Because boys are involved.
Yeah. Yep. Middle school and not having access to a shower when you need it.
No. In the meantime, now that we're new moms and we're in our early 30s, we're just like, I don't really need showers, though.
Nope. Just put on extra deodorant and leave the house.
Yeah. Like, that's what ponytails are for. That's what hair, I call them hair hats. That's what hats are for.
Hair hats?
Hair hats. As opposed to, you know, like butt hats and foot hats, which are basically just shoes and pants.
Everything now is just a hat because you put it on your body.
Yeah.
These are my eye hats.
Oh, I like your eye hats.
AKA glasses.
They're great.
Thanks. Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a rough household to grow up in. But
yeah, if you watch the video too on BBC Earth, like it's super sad. You're kind of like, I want to just go and pick up this little stork that's being hit on. It's just like, it's bad. It's very hard to watch like two little baby birds like fight. But even these baby birds are like big birds. But it's still sad because the mom's just standing there like, uh-huh. Just keep doing that. I'm not going to come over there. Only one of you is going to live. So if you want it, you fight for it. But it's sad.
Yeah. Wow. Great mom.
Yeah. Great mom. Real role model.
Okay, so the last one that we are going to talk about is the Leysin albatross.
Mm-hmm.
So we would be mad moms if we didn't recognize one of the world's oldest wild birds, which is a Leysin albatross named Wisdom. Leysin albatrosses are white-headed birds with dark gray-brown upper wings and mostly white underwings and a dark patch right around their eye. They spend nearly their whole lives at sea and fly using a technique called dynamic soaring, which includes gliding low over the waves and then wheeling up into the sky to take advantage of the wind. They rarely flap their wings, making it possible to save energy while racking up some serious flying mileage. So in the past decade, Wisdom has been astounding researchers and winning fans with her longevity and devotion to raising her young. She has flown millions of miles in her life, but she returns to the same nest every year on Midway Atoll, the world's largest colony of albatrosses. She is over 70 years old and has hatched more than 40 chicks in her lifetime. Holy shit. Can we just give a shout out?
Shout out to that mom.
In fact, she has even outlived the biologist who first banded her back in the 1950s.
Yeah, that's like a cool fact, but I don't know if I'd call it like a fun fact. Because like, is it fun when people die? I don't know, but it's pretty fascinating.
I mean, like if they were like 50.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how old the guy was.
Yeah, he could have been really old. He could have been like, this is my life work.
Is that the noise he made when he died? Oh, God. I hope that's how I go out. All my loved ones are gathered around me, and they're waiting for me to say, like, some meaningful last words, and I just go, bleh. Oh, God.
Oh, man. I'd much rather make that noise than anything else.
All right, I'll make sure that you make that noise.
Thanks. You just have it pre-recorded in case I pass silently. And then you just play it like, well, got it in time.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay. Whew. So yeah.
Wisdom.
lots of babies over her life. And as new moms, we already feel a bit overwhelmed at times with just having one kid. So shout out to this badass mama who has had and raised over 40 children and just continues to do so.
Oh my God. That is like one of those instances where I feel like instinct must suck, because you've already had 40 kids and you're 70 years old and your body's like, nope, you gotta make another one, girl. And you're just like, can I just retire and just chill in the ocean, flying around and not have to come back to this damn beach all the time to raise a stupid bird?
Or she is like, man, I could really use a break from being out on the water. Oh, let's go raise a child. This sounds lovely.
This is exactly the break I need. I need to just go have another baby.
I just need a baby to get some rest.
Yeah, all this like flying around the ocean and stuff. It's like not cutting it for me anymore.
Man, so that is wisdom.
Who is not that wise?
Maybe misnamed.
Maybe misnamed to just like high hormones. Which is also a bad name for a bird.
I want to name her the Baby Maker.
The Baby Maker.
The oh Baby Maker. I feel like that would be like an action flick coming this fall. The Baby Maker.
Boo-ba-da-boo.
And then it's just her flying across the ocean with like some quick cuts and then like some really like fast like car racing music. And then it cuts to her like on a nest just like being like,
too fast, too horny. You said race car music. It's all I could think of.
You had to change it to too fast, too horny?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay. I was going to say too fast, too hormonal.
Yeah, we can go with that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever used the word horny to describe a bird.
Not yet. First time for everything.
There is. I think that was the first time today.
Then so, it's the only time I hope that happens.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed this very random back to it episode about bird moms from these two moms.
That sounded so sincere. To these two moms, so help us, please.
So help us. We're going to continue to record.
So you can always find us on Instagram at Birdship Podcast and Twitter at Birdship Pod. We have put our Ko-Fi, Ko-Fi donation link in both of those profiles. So feel free to go there if you'd like to make a donation to help us out. Pretty please, 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 please. And if you're able to remember those long URLs, please visit ko-fi.com/Birdship Podcast to support our show. And as always, don't forget to send us some fan mail at hellobirdshit@gmail.com.
And we also want to apologize because we've been very behind on fan mail. So if you have sent us something, please know that we probably read it. We just haven't found time to respond yet, but we will. Or we won't respond and you'll listen to an episode in the future and randomly something that you were like, hey, this would be a good idea for an episode, we do as an episode. So there you go.
There you go. It all comes full circle, because right now it's not a complete circle.
No, right now it's not a moon.
It's not a sphere either. Sucks.
Yeah, this episode just crashed. Sorry.
And when we say we hired an editor, we bet we hired a dumpster fire to put this episode in. Because it is trash.
No one's going to hear it. Bye.
Okay, bye. Keep your eyes in the sky.